CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cooper Lawrence. After tonight's 4-2 win in Game 3 of the World Series, the Dodgers are just one game away from a championship. Steve Nelson made the call on Dodgers Radio Network.
Kopech's ready, as is Torres. The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires, in time, and that's a win for L.A.
Former President Donald Trump was in Georgia criticizing Vice President Harris for calling him a fascist.
My father always used to tell me, don't use the word, you don't ever use the word Nazi. And, you know, it's incredible. Now the way they talk is so disgusting and just horrible the way they talk.
Democrats are stepping up their attacks on Republicans after a comedian opening a Trump rally called Puerto Rico, quote, a floating island of garbage. The Trump campaign distanced itself from the remarks and did not mention the controversy during Trump's appearances. Harris was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where she singled out younger voters.
I love your generation. I really do. And one of the things about it is you are rightly impatient for change. I love that about you. You are impatient for change.
Investigators say they have a lead on a vehicle in connection with incendiary devices that were placed inside ballot boxes in two cities. Those cities are Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington. KOIN-TV's Lisa Bellick says efforts to protect the boxes started 4 years ago.
Both had fire suppressant inside that coats ballots with a special powder. It worked well in Multnomah County, only three ballots destroyed. Elections office security heard a blast. They ran over and then called police. The county is reaching out to those three voters whose ballots were damaged. But in Vancouver, a different story. Their fire suppressant apparently did not activate. Hundreds of ballots burned up.
Thousands of North Korean troops are in Russia, possibly to fight the war in Ukraine. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul with the latest.
According to North Korean state media and Russia's embassy in Pyongyang, Foreign Minister Choi Soon-hee is making an official visit to Moscow for the second time in less than 2 months. She's expected to discuss the North's support for Russia's war against Ukraine, as well as a possible visit by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to Moscow.
Ukraine's Premier League is holding its first full soccer season with the fans present since 2022. Though the crowd sizes are going to be limited by capacity of nearby bomb shelters, soccer fans are eager to attend matches, finding a moment of calm and unity in the midst of war. The league faces numerous game interruptions due to air raids and power cuts. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday, is our ability to kind of regroup and reload, because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Matthew Perry died over a year ago, but the story is still very much in the news. Variety reports that Perry's family is taking legal action against the doctors and those who supplied him with ketamine. Perry's mother and stepfather and three siblings appeared on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and discussed the pending 2025 trial against two of the parties that supplied the drugs to Perry. Charges were brought after a joint LAPD-DEA investigation into Perry's death. What could possibly be more fun than a Timothée Chalamet look-alike contest in New York City? How about Timothée Chalamet actually crashing hosting the party. The actor showed up incognito at first to a sea of young men who looked similar and surprised everybody when he removed sunglasses and a mask, then posed for selfies with contestants. The contest was promoted by the use of flyers over the last few weeks. The winner was to receive a $50 prize. Seems kind of lame. In case you're wondering, the actual Timothy Chalamet took third place. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight, gusty southeast winds, temperatures in the upper 50s, close to 60 degrees. For your Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy south winds. Highs will top out in the lower 80s, which would be a new record high. Right now, it's 58.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Insha Rahman. We're going to talk about crime, public safety, policing, and immigration, and what voters in Wisconsin really want.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so great to have you with me tonight. Thanks for joining the show. Wherever you are joining us from in our amazing, gorgeous state, it's great to have you. Whether you're joining us on the stream, the app, the actual radio, going old school, it's all good. Hope you had a great weekend. There was a lot going on in the world of entertainment this weekend, in the world of sports, and just in Wisconsin. A lot of fun Halloween stuff. I managed to go to a party that did not require costumes. Because I feel like at some age, you get to a point where you're just like, if it's not mandatory, if not everybody's wearing a costume, I'm not going to dress up. Did you go to a party, Conrad?
No, actually, I did not.
No. You anti-Halloween or just weren't feeling it?
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it this year. Yeah. None of my friends really did either. I don't know. I had a bunch of friends that were working during the weekend.
Oh, okay. Remember, Thursday, we are dressing up. You're going to wear that master thing you have, right?
I will, yes.
Okay, and I'll wear my prisoner outfit. So that'll be fun. That's Thursday, folks. Halloween, it's finally here. It feels like we have been building up to this. I feel like the buildup for Halloween has been like 3 months. And again, I don't know if part of it is like election fatigue, political ads. I am getting so tired of political ads. You can't watch. All I want to do is escape and watch a football game or one of my shows and stream it. And it's these ads that just, oh my gosh, I have to mute it. That's how annoyed I am. So that will be over soon. I voted today. Did you vote yet, Conrad?
No, I'm going on the election or, on November, whatever.
5th. Oh, that's a good sign. let me ask you this. What are you going to do if the lines are really long? You going to gut it out?
Just have to gut it out.
All right. As long as you're willing to gut it out, that's fine. I think I went today. We had to wait. My wife and I had to wait like 5 minutes. It wasn't too bad. And there were some other people showing up at Marinette City Hall to vote. But they moved it along pretty well. It is nice to get it out of the way for me personally. I know some people like to go on election day and vote, and that's totally fine as well. But you do run into, you can run into issues anyway. If there are very long lines, and if you want to avoid any, what people are saying, there could be some trouble this year. I really don't think there will be. But you just never know. I like to get it done early. But whatever you do, as long as you vote, that's what we're up against here. That's what we're trying to promote. Promote the vote, Conrad. That's what it's all about. So we talked about the Badgers on Friday.
Yes.
And if they can get by Penn State and then manage to beat Oregon, if Oregon is still number one when they come in here, they should be considered for the playoff. That is not going to happen. As it turns out, it was a very difficult game to watch.
I mean, yeah, I'll say, you know, it didn't look terrible in the first quarter and then just went downhill.
They were winning in the first half. They seemed to keep pace and then it just gets away from them. And they look slow to me. I don't know. Penn State looked a lot faster.
It looked like Penn State, once Penn State figured it out, it was over.
Yeah. Indeed. But it was a good weekend, a beautiful weekend up in the Marinette area where I live. And I realized that here, I just want to get something off my chest before we go hardcore into the show. And we've got a great one tonight, folks. Adam Brody is appearing on the show. I interviewed Adam yesterday, and we're going to play that interview. He is from The OC and the Netflix, the new Netflix show, Nobody Wants This, with Kristen Bell. So we'll play that interview at 7:05. But I realized that I have a pet peeve. A couple years ago, a friend of mine put on Facebook, I'm looking for a new post-shave balm. Can anyone recommend a good one? And I know I get set off by the weirdest things, but reading the words post-shave balm drove me insane. It's aftershave.
I was going to say, yeah, isn't it just aftershave?
Nobody says post-shave balm. It's hard to say. It's pretentious. It's ridiculous. So the other night, I needed more aftershave, and I stopped by a store, I think after I left here Friday night, and I go in to get some aftershave. I get home. I take it out of the box. I think it was Nivea or something. Guess what it says on the bottle? Post-shave balm. I wouldn't even have bought it. Why? Why are we complicating things? It's a post-shave balm. Even if you said aftershave balm, it's the post-shave balm. It's so hard to say and so stupid. That's the last time I buy that product. Unless they want to sponsor the show, then I love it. So I don't know. Do I get, you've known me for almost a year now, Conrad. Do I get wound up by little things like that?
I guess.
Sometimes?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I wouldn't have even noticed it probably if it was me, but.
Well, words are my thing. I mean, I have a writing background, and I just, and I've done a lot of freelance. I've written spots for like marketing campaigns and the networks when I was living in LA. I worked for NBC and the WB and Fox and Lifetime. And words matter, and that drives me crazy. I need a new post-shave balm. Can anyone recommend some? Yeah, how about you give yourself a beating? I'm kidding, Conrad. Don't look scared. I'm half kidding.
What if I want a post-shave balm?
You would deserve a beating. I'm not saying I would do it, but I'd probably hire some goons. What is your post-shave balm of choice? Do you have one?
I actually use something from Bath & Body Works.
Oh.
What's that called? They have some really good scents there. And it's the Ocean Aftershave.
The Ocean by Conrad. You see, you have one of those names. You could go into that line of work. like a Calvin Klein, like a one-name guy. Ocean Essence by Conrad.
The Wilderness by Conrad.
Yeah, right. You could do, dude, that's totally, you got to get the ball rolling on that. As long as you don't leave the show, that's fine. And moving on, I'm excited too. I'm almost done with Bad Monkey. And it kind of kicks up a notch. But you know what's bothering me a little bit? Vince Vaughn, in the face of danger, still being Vince Vaughn with the wisecracks.
Okay.
I get that you're wisecracking your way through the show and you're doing Vince Vaughn. And we love Vince Vaughn. We like the you know, little quips and the smart-ass remarks and all that. But, you know, when Russian gangsters break into your house and have a gun in your face, I think that, and your girlfriend is right there, I think you're a little less cocky then. But I'm sticking with it, and it is good.
Yeah.
I'm accepting that and moving past it. I have an episode and a half left.
Oh, okay. So you're there almost.
Pardon me. I am almost there, and then I'm going tonight. I'm planning on finishing that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going right into Lioness Season 2, baby, with Zoe Saldana. Really good show by Taylor Sheridan. I watched the whole first season in about 2 days, 6 or 8 months ago, and just thought it was great. So I'm going to start that again tonight, too.
So how do you feel right now about the buildup that's going on? Because you said you're on episode, what, 8?
I'm at 8.5. I'm halfway into episode. No, halfway into episode. There's 10 episodes, I believe. So I have an episode and a half left.
So how do you feel about the buildup so far?
Yeah, it's okay. No, I don't mean that. Like, I mean, I think they could have done the season in 8 episodes, to be honest. But
well, I think they did add a lot to... Why do I keep forgetting his name?
Nick?
No.
Yancey. That's Vince Vaughn's character. Andrew Yancey.
Hold on. Let me go to the Google again.
Neville?
Yes.
All right,
that,
Neville.
I don't know why I keep forgetting his name, but I feel like they added a lot of story to his that was slow.
Yeah.
Like they could have made that a little
I agree.
But they are basing it off the book, Bad
Correct.
Monkey. So I'm actually going to read it and see how close it is to the, you know.
Wow. Oh, God. My backpack fell off the chair. I thought there was an animal coming into the studio. I swear to God, I thought there was a dog or a coyote running in.
If you're on the stream, you saw that live.
Oh, my God. That was insane.
That reaction, I thought there was like a little tiny spider over there or something.
Spiders, I don't mind. I don't like furry animals running around, though. In my defense, I have a backpack shaped like a dog. Whoa, that was creepy.
This street is haunted.
It's supposedly, right? We learned that last Friday. But I think I applaud you for reading the book after you watch the show, but I also think it's a cop-out. I don't think when you buy the rights to a book and make it into a show, you don't have to stick to the book.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some contractual things in there, but you can make it a better TV and book. They're different mediums. Make it good TV.
I wish I would have known that it was based on a book before I got to like episode 6.
Yeah.
So I could have read the book first. Book.
Right.
But I definitely planned because there's a second book that I'm going to read before the second season comes
out. Of Bad Monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Here's another thing that kind of got under my skin. I have a Facebook friend who will remain nameless, Bob Scott. Kidding. She will post a picture of herself after everything she does. Just got back from the store, and it's kind of a half smile, and she's looking at the camera, and you could tell she doesn't want to show her teeth because it's like a toothless smile. And you know, she's an attractive woman, and I don't know what the deal is, but whether you're attractive or not, just smile. Like, but every picture she posts after she does something, here's me leaving the gala event, it's the same face. Here's me after afternoon of boating on Lake Michigan, same face. I don't understand why people do that. She could literally use the same picture for everything she posts and just change the background. It's just wasted. Like people, you know, they post 18,000 pictures of themselves. Basically, it's a very similar picture. Or here's my head tilted to the left. Here's a picture of me tilted to the right. Sometimes there'll be 5 offerings in one post, and it's like, I don't need to see every angle of your face. I get that you did something. You could have just said that. You didn't have to share a picture, especially not a picture that looks like every other picture you put on Facebook.
Wow.
I don't get it. And I love social media, and I don't love social. It's like, I love it that I can keep in touch with my friends who I don't live close to anymore, but that kind of stuff drives me nuts. And I might be on an island. Maybe all of you listening do the same thing. I don't know. I haven't even, oh my God, this is a terrible show opening. All right, so I've got to tell you the question. Tonight's question, this is National Animation Day, folks. So let me get this out there before the break. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite cartoon or animated show or movie? Cartoon National Animation Day. We've all watched cartoons. We love our animated shows or movies. What's your favorite? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will be back to continue opening Nightlight right after this this word. This is Beach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From Lodi says, is Pete going to be going? Is Pete going to be going boomer all night? I'm trying to decide if it's funny or sad. How old are you, Eric? That's what I want to know. Eric's in the 608. Why did I say it was so boomer? Post-shave bomb? Did I offend someone who likes the phrase post-shave bomb? Is that possible?
Is that the original term?
Or Eric has posted several photos of himself on Facebook. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't mean to offend Eric. I probably am somewhat boomer. I'm okay with that. Thanks for the text, though, buddy. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, do not experience that, but showboating. Pete, do not experience that, but showboating. I need some explanation there, Tom. Tom from the 414, one of our regular most awesome texters. Would love to have you clarify that, Tom. Anna says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite animated show is The Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. Great choice, Anna. In reference to the Flintstones, there's a great movie called Night Shift, if you've never seen it. Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler, they play undertakers at the New York City morgue, and they end up turning it into like a brothel, so to speak, or they become bookers of prostitutes and do it out of the morgue. And there's a very funny line in there where the day guy is leaving and packs up his TV and takes it with him. And he's singing the Flintstones song and says, oh, that Barney Rubble, what an actor. Great line. Great movie. Check it out if you haven't. Thank you, Anna. That's a great choice. Tom from New Berlin. Sucks for the person listening. Pete, do not experience that, but showboating sucks for the person listening. I don't know. Maybe Pete needs some. Eric says maybe Pete needs some salve. Is that, am I saying that right? Salve. That's the like aloe that's in the post shave bomb. Thank you, Eric. Eric says he's 57. So Eric, you're a boomer too. I think we're both boomers. Or no. All right. I'm Gen X too then. Okay. What technically is the boomer age? Do we know that? Can we go to the Google?
I can go to the Google.
I've never really cared before, but I'm being called boomer, so I feel like I should know what I'm being accused of. Jameson in Pennsylvania says, animated show, Venture Brothers, written by people between your age and mine. It's basically Johnny Quest grew up and is a scientist like his day, but like his dad, I assume, but a failure while making his kids go through the same horror of adventuring his father did. So many great pop culture references. Mainstream and obscure. Highly recommended. It will not disappoint, and you'll find yourself quoting it all the time. I love a show that I quote all the time. The Simpsons. That's the one that's my go-to. Family Guy's great. I like The Regular Show. Great text, Jameson. Thank you. Eric says, favorite animated show, Futurama. Interesting you say that, Eric. One of the writers from Futurama will be here next Monday night. He's a comedian and writer named Mike Rowe. Not the Mike Rowe from the commercials or whatever, but Mike Rowe, very funny comedian and excellent writer. He's written on Futurama and King of the Hill. He will be here Monday talking about a book he wrote and probably writing for Futurama. So I hope you can tune in then too, Eric. From the 414, Rango. Oh, what is that? I know that.
It's a. It's yeah, kind of a like a Western movie, if I'd say, about, I forget who it is.
Yeah, let's look that up. I'm going to look that up because I know that. I know that.
Why can't I think of a lizard? Johnny Depp's in it, though.
Okay.
It's like a Western about, I think, a lizard.
We'll look it up. I need a refresher on that, but thank you, 608. Also, from the 608, Madison Plummer. Also, I'm not a boomer. Llama from Madison says, The Tick. It's a spoof on superheroes. I remember The Tick. Great text, everybody. Those are great. I was not expecting to hear some of those. And I never really watched The Tick, but I loved the ads for it. Mine would have to be The Simpsons and at times Family Guy. And probably South Park at times, although I don't watch it religiously. And Conrad, you said yours is Puss in Boots?
Well, that's for a movie.
Yeah.
But I would say Family Guy for television.
So boomers are 57 to 75?
Yes.
Okay.
It said, well, baby boomers. So
that's not right. Boomers. Because I'm not even close to being a baby boomer. I think baby boomers or boomers start at least in the early 60s. Because my sister-in-law is the last year of baby boomer, and I think she was born in 64.
Okay, so it says boomers 70 to 78. Boomers. Okay.
I think that's
two, aka Generation Jones, 60 to 69.
Now they're just making stuff up. I'm part of neither one of those. But maybe I'm old and curmudgeon-y. Maybe that's what Eric was saying. I accept that. We have a phone call. Let's go to the. Yep. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Hey, good evening, Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Thanks for holding.
My favorite animated is Peanuts. Since they don't play on national TV anymore, I'm going to have to go to the library and rent the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and then Charlie Brown Christmas, because there's not the holidays until I see those.
You know what? First of all, I think it's worth it to do that, to go put in the extra effort, because I love those so much. But I think you can stream them now, Cindy. I'm almost certain. I don't know what streaming apps you have, but I think
Apple TV.
Apple TV has the Peanuts?
Has the Great Pumpkin.
Okay. And that's not bad, Cindy. It's only like $6.99 a month. I don't know what your budget is or whatever, but it might be worth looking into. But there's something old school about going and getting the videos, too. That's fun, too. But a great choice, Cindy.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Cindy from Appleton. And what did you just tell me, Conrad? You just tried to give me a signal. Like, am I supposed to steal home?
You're supposed to go to two.
What's two? Jim from Appleton says, oh, there we go. Jim from Appleton says, boomers start in 1948, post-World War II. That's when they start. Yes, that sounds right, Jim. And I think it goes to 64. I could be wrong. But thank you for the text, Jim. All right, so you said you saw Venom.
Yes, I did.
And?
I liked it. I am a big fan of the Venoms, the two Venoms before.
Awesome.
I really liked it. And I think if you have time to go see it and you like the Venom films, go see it. Even if you look at the reviews and you're like, oh, well, the critics only gave it 37. Still go see it. I think you'll enjoy it.
It's from Conrad, creator of Great Essences and Scents. We have a great show tonight, folks. Actor from the OC and Nobody Wants This. Adam Brody joins me at 7:05, a pre-recorded interview we did yesterday. Ian Teal is coming up next to talk about the Waiwega Film Festival. And at 7:20, we have two people from the Brown County Historical Society here in studio to talk about their 125th gala event that is tomorrow night. That's all tonight. That's a lot of show. Great to have you with me. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News brief, despite winning Game 3 of the World Series 4-2, Dodgers manager Dave Rogers says there's more that could have been done. He told reporters about his plan for Game 4.
I think offensively, to be quite honest, we left a lot of runs out there tonight. Still found a way to win a ball game, and there's just got to be urgency. I just don't want to let these guys up for air.
Former President Donald Trump was in Georgia responding to Vice President Harris calling him a fascist.
I'm not a Nazi. I'm the opposite of a Nazi. I don't know.
Three ballot boxes were burned in Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, Washington, destroying hundreds of ballots. Vancouver Police Chief Troy Price says the investigation found how the fire started.
There was an incendiary device that had been attached to the ballot box, and that is what ignited this fire.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cooper Lawrence.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday is our ability to kind of regroup and reload because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Denever, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Denever are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 35. Tonight, our temperature dropping into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, showers, thunder showers with falling temperatures will be in the upper 50s to low 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mary Hayes is the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats for Bayfield and Ashland counties. Going to get a little update with her. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. No.
Welcome back. Ezekiel Drews watching on the stream, a former guest of the show who runs a really cool independent film festival in Milwaukee. Messages on the stream. It says, favorite animation is a Japanese film made by Studio Ghibli called Howl's Moving Castle, based on the book. The film adaptation's English Club stars Christian Bale as Howl. Interesting. I don't know enough about anime, do you? And I'm not saying he's saying that's what that is, but
I do not.
It made me think of it. Thank you, Ezekiel for the recommendation. And thank you for all your texts. Keep them coming. What is your favorite? Today is National Animation Day. So that's our question tonight. What is your favorite animated show or movie? Can be either. Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Please be part of the show, and we'll read it on the radio. Coming up at 7:05, my interview from yesterday with the OC actor and Nobody Wants This actor on the hit Netflix show Adam Brody. That is coming up at 7:05. And at 7:20, we welcome Deirdre and Stephen Starry from the Brown County Historical Society, who will be here talking about a really cool 125th anniversary event tomorrow night, a gala affair. They will be in studio, so that's always exciting. But right now, I'm excited to welcome some film festival talk on Tonight Light. We haven't done this in probably a week or so, and I like to stay up to date with all the film festivals. Joining us now from WIGA Arts and the WIWIGA International Film Festival is Ian Teal. Ian, welcome to Tonight Light.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Thank you for taking the time. I don't know how film festival people do it, to be honest, to come on a show like this when you have a film festival right around the corner. I know there's so much to be taken care of. It looks like your film lineup is set, but I'm sure you're scrambling around with last minute things like hotel rooms and guest accommodations and all that kind of stuff. So how's it going so far?
Good. Well, this is a big part of it, is getting the word out. That's basically what we're in the midst of now, is getting the word out. So this is ideal for us right now.
Well, that's great to hear. Happy to help. Tell us a little bit about the WIWIGA Film Festival for those of us who have never been to it.
Well, WIWIGA is a small town about 25 miles west of the Fox Valley, kind of between Wapaka and Fremont near the Wolf River. And in 2007, my partner and I bought the Gerald Opera House in WIWIGA. Not sure why, but we did. But we have a lot of experience. I grew up in Wisconsin, but we met each other in New York, where we did a lot of theater and film projects. And so we moved back here, and we weren't doing anything real creative. So let's buy an opera house. So after several years of, we started showing some indies, and those went over pretty well, locally made films. And so in 2011, we decided to start a film festival. And if you're a small town, you want to get as much attention as you can. So we called it the WIWIGA International Film Festival. We also love foreign films. So this is a way to solicit films from all around the world. And we're in our 14th year. We're now doing 4 full days of programming. We have a lot of filmmakers visiting this year. I think probably half the films are going to have filmmakers there.
Nice.
Of the 61 films we're showing.
Wow.
And it's a terrific, it's a great lineup. Every year, you know, you get more known, so you get a lot more submissions, and just a lot of great films this year.
So that was kind of leads me into my next question. You talked about how you grow in popularity a little bit each year. From the time you started to now, would you say there's more of a film audience in that vicinity of Wisconsin? Did you have to build it, or were they already there and they just needed to be entertained? How did that work?
No, that's definitely a big part of it, is building the audience, because like I say, we're in a small town. But we draw from Stevens Point up to Green Bay, the Fox Valley area, Oshkosh, Wapaka is a big part of our audience. But yeah, it's been a process of letting people know we're here and growing. But now, of course, COVID, we took a big hit. We did 1 year online, which actually went pretty well. But then it's a bit of a build back after COVID. And last year's festival was great. We had great attendance, and we're hoping for the same this year.
That's great. So talk a little bit about the film festival, by the way. If you're interested in attending this year's 14th annual Waiwega International Film Festival, is November 13th through the 16th. They offer over 60 films, a few of which we'll talk about in just a minute. But talk about your venue. When you say you don't know why you bought an opera house, I get that. But I also think buying an old theater or an opera house is one of the coolest things ever. And I'm sure they are a ton of work and a labor of love. But do you regret doing it? And how conducive is it to hosting a film festival?
No, I have no regrets. I guess it's in my nature. When I was, I think, how old was I? I was like 21. I produced a Shakespeare play in Martha's Vineyard and an outdoor amphitheater. And we sort of revamped the amphitheater. And to this day, the local theater company is still doing Shakespeare in the amphitheater.
Nice.
When I lived in New York City and in my 20s, started a couple theater groups. This is, in fact, when I met my partner, Kathy. We and several other people took an empty building on 4th Street in the East Village and made a theater out of it and ran a theater for about 3 years. And that theater is still in existence.
Nice.
So it's sort of in our blood. We love to perform, make movies, be creative. And when you have your own space, it helps. But in terms of the Gerald Opera House, it had been sitting, it was built in 1915. It's not super fancy, but it can seat about 350 max, has a beautiful balcony. When we bought it, it was pretty much set up as a movie theater. The screen, it has a big full-size screen. It's on a track, so the screen can move to the back of the stage so you can do concerts and different performances. And when we bought it, the stage, the screen was kind of permanently affixed to the front, and they had insulated all behind it so they wouldn't have to heat the stage. And same thing, the balcony was all closed off so they wouldn't have to heat it. So we opened all that up. We did some basic updates, put in some stage lighting, updated our film projection. It had 35 millimeter projection when we bought it, but it was pretty outdated. So we bought some secondhand newer equipment. And actually, when we first doing films, we were doing them on 35 millimeter, but that's now almost impossible to get prints. You can get them, but it is not easy. So that's when we switched digital projection. And now we have excellent digital projection and sound. And it's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. It's always fun putting on a show. So
yeah, for sure. My guest is Ian Teal. He works with the Waiwega, one of the creators of the Waiwega International Film Festival. Just a short drive from the Fox Valley here, and they've got, it sounds like, a great lineup of films. Before we get into the films, you talk about making films and doing theater, Ian. What is your background? How did you get into this racket, so to speak? Are you from Wisconsin?
I grew up in Oconomowoc, and when I was, I think 19, I moved out to New York, where I had an older sister, and got involved in theater out there, between there and Martha's Vineyard, where my grandfather lived. So I had a nice, in my 20s, I'd spend my summers on Martha's Vineyard, doing theater, going to the beach, painting houses, and then in the winter, I'd come back to New York and do more theater, and eventually started getting some filmmaking, and then eventually started our own theater.
Wow, tough life. So in Martha's Vineyard.
So I've written. Yeah, well, it's crazy. It's fun when you're young, but man, it's sure. My aunt still lives there, but it is just so crazy expensive. Beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places on the East Coast, but just nuts how expensive it is.
Right,
but I've written a bunch of short plays, reached some full length plays, short films. My partner and I made a film in the 90s, a feature length film. And so, you know, we've done a little bit of everything.
That sounds great. You sound like the exact type of guy that should be running a festival. You obviously have great respect for the craft, whether it's theater, movies, even creating a theater. I love that you said you created a theater in the village just out of a small converted space. Those tend to be, or at least when I was younger, I loved walking into theaters like that. There's such an intimacy and at times a weirdness, but it's always conducive to just creating a little space and making it yours to perform in. I think that's so fascinating. So do you typically look for specific types of films year to year? Do you ever have themes at your festivals? I know you have some blocks of films this year. You're doing 8 shorts. I think it's called Psycho Fest. Tell us a little bit about your approach.
I would think the only real theme we look for is that group of Psycho Fest. A little background. Psycho was written by Robert Bloch, and I think it was published in 1959. And Robert Bloch was living in Waiwiga when he wrote the novel. He had married a girl from Waiwiga, and he was a science fiction thriller horror writer. Did a lot of pulp fiction stories. You can find his stories back in the old pulp fiction magazines. And so he wrote Psycho, and he was inspired by the Ed Gein murders over in Plainfield. Ed was fixated with his mother, so you can see that in Psycho, where it's this guy's fixated with his mother, and he basically embalms her, and Ed did very similar crazy, nutty things. And in fact, right outside of Waiwiga, there's the Lakeshore Motel, which is not there now, but when we first moved there, it was still there, sort of the ruins of it. And it's the exact same layout as the Bates Motel. So you can see where he got his inspiration for the Bates Motel. This old sign is still there. If you're on the west side of Waiwiga, you can look off the highway and you'll see the Lakeshore Motel sign. So that's sort of our tribute, our connection with Waiwiga is Psycho. So when we first started, we would get, horror and thriller. So, let's start this as a group. So, I think 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago, so Friday nights, we're going to do Psycho Fest. And so anything sci-fi, thriller, or horror will fit into that genre. And in fact, this year, it's the 65th anniversary of Cycle the Novel. So we decided, let's show Psycho. So Wednesday night, we're showing Psycho at 7 p.m. And we have a writer. I forget his name. His first name's Bill, but I'm going to screw up his last name. But anyhow, Bill, he's a professor at Oshkosh, UW Oshkosh, and he's doing writing a book about Robert Bloch. And so he's going to do the introduction to Psycho. So that should be pretty interesting.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
So I'm sort of going on a tangent here about Psycho, but the question was, what do I look for in films? I think number one is a good story. Does this story grab me? Is the story new? Because you see, we watch hundreds of films every year, and a lot of them are just, we've seen this before. Especially in horror films, everyone does a slasher film. There's, they're just sort of imitating their heroes. But what attracts us is something new, a new spin on a story, a new spin on a slasher film, and engaging the audience and just telling a strong story. That's probably the biggest thing. Something new, something we haven't seen before.
I could not agree more with you. Even at the risk of sacrificing a little bit of the techno side of it, if you got a great story, I really feel like that's what engages people. All right, my guest is Ian Teal. He is the festival director for the Waiwiga International Film Festival. He is with us for a couple more minutes here. We're going to do a quick thing here, and we will be right back to talk about more films that you can check out at this year's Waiwiga International Film Festival. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Some great texts here that we will get to shortly, but our question tonight, just to reiterate, is what is your favorite animated cartoon or animated show or movie? That is tonight's question in honor of National Animation Day. It's our number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you can call or text. It's great to hear from you either way and have you be part of the show. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our guest, Ian Teal. He's the festival director for the Waiwega International Film Festival, and he joins me here over the stream. Ian, you've got tell us about, you've got 18 Wisconsin films showing on Thursday night. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's actually Thursday all day.
Okay, that makes sense.
We have two groups of shorts. Let me just check the schedule here. Two groups of shorts, I think starting at noon. And we had so many great Wisconsin films. It's like, well, I can't not show this one and show that one. So I'm just going to fill the day with Wisconsin films. And two groups of shorts. At 4:30, we're showing a film called The Best of Us, which is, I think it's about an hour-long documentary about a volunteer fire department in Cornell, Wisconsin, and the struggles, and one of their biggest struggles is finding new volunteers. At 6, we're showing a film, Bad River, which is about an Indian reservation up near Superior, where they've been fighting a Canadian company with this pipeline going through the reservation for years, and it's just, it's you know, a David and Goliath story there. At 7:45, we are showing Freedom, Wisconsin, which was filmed in Freedom and Appleton. It's sort of a quirky Napoleon Dynamite type comedy, very entertaining. That's at 7:45. And then at 9 p.m., now this is actually part of a PsychoFest film, but I couldn't fit them all in on Friday. But this is a film, Happy Birthday, which I think you had just mentioned him earlier, Ezekiel. Directed Drews. That film.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Drews and Dan Davies is in it. And they made this film. And so we're showing that at 9 p.m. on Friday. So, and also through the week, there's a lot of other excellent Wisconsin films.
That's excellent. Yeah. Ezekiel and Dan have both been on the show. And we got a message from another friend of yours, I believe, JB Thompson, who says, Ian, Double exclamation points, by the way, Ian, after your name. That must make you feel very special. He says, great to hear about the amazing Waiwega International Film Festival, and his favorite animated series is Family Guy, and he signs it, my nickname for JB, the guy behind the guy. So there you go. You've got fans listening, Ian. So, yeah, Freedom, Wisconsin. I was reading about that yesterday. Was that filmed in Freedom, or is that just...
I think it was filmed in Freedom and Appleton, okay, from my understanding.
That sounds like a great, just a really solid film festival film, what I read about it. Just that kind of coming of age. Yeah. And as you mentioned, quirky Napoleon Dynamite angle to it, too. That sounds like a fun film. So you got the 18 Wisconsin shorts. I love, really, honestly, the only place you can see short films, not the only place, but it's film festivals. And there are so many great short films out there that people never get a chance to see because they either don't go to film festivals or don't look hard enough for them on streaming platforms. But do you have a lot of Q&As planned?
Yeah, as many as we can. If there's a filmmakers there, we have a Q&A. So we always try and budget out the time for that. And like I said, we're going to have a lot of filmmakers there. Yeah. I think we have about 12 or 14 coming from out of state. We have one lady flying in from Finland. Another guy is coming from Spain. And actually, these filmmakers, speaking of shorts, these two are coming for their short films. And yeah, that's the thing with shorts is some of these shorts are wonderful. You know, in a 10 or 20 minute thing, you know, they can make you cry, they can make you laugh. And they're just excellent. And a lot of these are calling cards, you know, it's like, look, I can make a movie. And some of them are just beautiful and touching it. And it's like you said, the only place you're going to see these is probably at a film festival.
And it's almost a different kind of art form. You have such a limited time to get your message across. And like with a feature, in some ways, having a writing background, I know where this beat has to happen. I know where this beat has to happen. But with short films, it could be 2 minutes. It could be 32 minutes. You just don't know. You kind of have this blank canvas. It's almost a little harder to edit something like that, in my opinion. I have great respect for people that do that. We just have about a minute left, Ian, and I appreciate your time tonight. Just going back a year, how did Hundreds of Beavers play last year?
Great. Have you seen it?
I have. I do a lot of the work. I do a lot of work at the Wisconsin Film Festival and had the opportunity to see it. I want to say a couple years ago, maybe. And I had seen their previous film, the Lake Michigan Monster. Yeah. They are on another level.
We love Lake Michigan Monster. When I saw they had this, they say, hey guys, can I show this shirt? And, yeah, it's amazing what they do. And now they've like got national fame, and I can't wait to see what these guys do with the budget, because they've done amazing things with no budget.
It's incredible.
And just incredibly creative guys.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you so much for your time tonight. Best of luck with the festival. You have to come on afterwards and tell us how it went. It was great to meet you tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, that's Ian Teal. He's the director of the Waiwega International Film Festival. And folks, I cannot stress enough how great it is to see a Q&A after a film or see a bunch of great short films. You owe it to yourself. If you don't go to film festivals, definitely give it a try. And Waiwega has a great reputation, and it's like 30 minutes from the Fox Valley, so highly recommend it. All right, my interview with Adam Brody, actor Adam Brody from The OC and the Netflix show Nobody Wants This, is coming up next. We'll play a quick clip of his work. And then the interview that I recorded with him yesterday. Very nice guy, and it was fun to meet Adam. And then at 7:20, a couple locals coming in to celebrate the history of Brown County with a gala event tomorrow. Deirdre and Steven Starry will be here. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we share a teaser for the new show, Wabino Volunteer Fire. Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum joins to talk the 115th anniversary and Wisconsin-based comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.